Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Neutral Game, your newbie-friendly fighting game podcast. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Miro Kovacevic from Real Soviet Bear Streaming Enterprises. Almost forgot which name I had to introduce myself with.
Well, you know, fair enough. You gotta mix it up sometimes. You're like, I'm Jeff from you know.
No, it's more like I try to make it a habit to pronounce my name properly, but I'm so used to like people in English not pronouncing it properly that sometimes when I speak English, I don't pronounce it properly. So,
Fair enough.
Just Eastern European things.
Hashtag.
Exactly.
We're here. So sometimes we come in where we talk about the latest and hottest in fighting games, and this episode is no different. But here's the difference. If you want to play the game we're talking about on this episode, you can just go do it for free.
Yeah, all you need is a PC and Steam and a keyboard, and I guess a working computer as well, and a monitor. Mm-hmm.
Though you could also play it with, I just played it with a stick, though you really don't need to with this game. We're talking about Ultra Fight Dakyonta 2.
Yep. I don't even think it's a sequel to anything. I think it's just like two.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's one of those situations where like Ultra Fight Dakyonta 1 was like internal only, and never saw real light of day. I don't know.
Actually, it's like Street Fighter. Like nobody ever knows about Street Fighter 1. Everybody just assumes Street Fighter 2 was the first one.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, this is a 2D fighting game on the PC, as we mentioned, and it is it's a weird little thing.
So I'm the one who suggested we play this, and the reason I suggested we play this was because people just kept telling me, "Oh, you should play this game. You should play this game." And I saw little snippets of it on streams, and it looked very much like a it's one of those, you know, Twitch meme games, you know, that people play because it's so bad it's good. So mm-hmm. I was kind of hesitant trying it out, but I figured why not.
Yeah, so this game is currently in early access. It's still being developed. Even if you play the game, there will be like some like locked character slots, and you're like, oh, these are characters that I'll unlock by playing the game. No, they just haven't developed them yet. And it's very actively being updated. There have been a couple of patches since we played earlier this week. Well, last week, I guess, at this point. Weeks are weird. And it is a sort of King of Fighters style game where you pick up to three characters. Depending on how many characters you pick, it'll scale your power level. And you pick from a wild roster of basically knockoffs of other fighting game characters.
They're not knockoffs, they're homages. Gosh.
I'm sorry, I am a Michelle.
Yes.
So, as far as controls, it's a really straightforward game. You've got A normals, B normals, and then you've got a special button and a super button. And there are no, like, motions. It's just sort of like you press a direction and a button and something comes out.
I'm trying to remember in my head because I could have sworn there were motions, but no. There's motions only as far as the special button goes, like pressing forward special is a fireball, down special is a dragon punch, and so on, depending on the character.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes for everybody, you have different moves when you jump, but there are no proper motions. There's just sort of like directional input plus button.
Yeah.
And as a result of this, the game tends to, like, really quickly you figure out that the game is very super-oriented, or at least super-meter-oriented, because this is, again, in the sort of a CVS2 style, this game has basically little styles or grooves for your characters. Six of them, in fact. You've got, like, Stamina, Speed, Demon, Parry, EX, Super. And these all change how your character behaves, and you can choose, in parry, you don't have a block. you can only parry stuff, but you're buffed in other ways. In stamina, you have more max health. In demon, you can't super, but when you turn it on, you have like unlimited EX moves for a certain amount of time, and it's a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, and some characters obviously benefit more from different styles than others.
Mm-hmm.
The baseline one is, from what I understand, stamina, which gives you 50% more health.
Yeah, stamina's a good, like, good safe option. It doesn't take away anything from you, whereas some of the others, like, as we mentioned, demon takes away your ability to use supers, and parry takes away your ability to block, which is, probably don't pick parry. I mean, there's a lot in this game, as you'll dive into it, that you'll be like, oh, this is kind of a joke, because there's a whole range of stuff in here, and the fighting game at first looks like it's entirely a joke. And the more you play it, you're like, no, there's some stuff that's for real in here, but there also is some stuff that is just a joke.
So I first thought this was a joke, but someone who watched my streams, Ivy, told me that this game is feral. And I feel like that is the most appropriate word to describe the game. Like, it's just feral. It's raw supers and just unhinged completely. Because a joke game, in a way, is like, okay, you have Dive Kick, and Dive Kick is kind of, quote-unquote, seriously balanced, but it's basically a lot of FGC jokes. This is just... It doesn't care, it just adds ridiculous mechanics, and it's not really about balance, it's more about, how can I say, what is more ridiculous. Like, it just kind of everything keeps going, like, more and more ridiculous, rather than... Oh, one thing is broken and then another thing isn't, if that makes sense.
It is just kind of like wild and feral, but also it does still have sort of those jokes in it, right? Like, I mean, like, there's, you know, you talk about like it not being quite like a Dive Kick, and I think you're right, but there is still some dive kick in there. I mean, like, one of the examples is a playable character by the name of Zacky Wild, who is just Zacky Wild's the name of a fighting game player from Japan. And it's just like, oh, look, he's in the game, and his moves are all ridiculous. It is still like, it strikes me like it's still a bunch of like memes and in jokes. It's just we're not necessarily the target audience, so it doesn't strike us the same way.
Probably. You think there's like a group of people who play Dive Kick and just don't understand any of the references? They're just like, oh, it's about jumping and diving.
I'm sure. Well, I think probably, like, I feel like the mechanics of Dive Kick kind of feel like a joke in a way that makes sense, but I would say the same thing about Count to Two, where, like, there are times where the action of Count to Two feels like it's making fun of Marvel-style fighting games.
It definitely feels like Marvel, although it's weird that it feels like Marvel, but it doesn't actually have a tagging mechanic.
Mm-hmm. But just like the pace and the way some of the setups, like, this is one of those things that I know you can get better at. But like, and we'll talk more about character specific stuff. But I was playing Robo Asima, who is like a joke version of Q, basically, but he's an alligator. And his down special, he shouts jumping, and then he like really quickly does this like short hop overhead. That is safe on block, is kind of hard to anti-air, and like a really ambiguous cross-up. And there were situations where I would just like spam that over and over and over, and it would knock you down, and you just had no answer to it. And that feels like they're kind of like a parody of like Vortex characters to me, in a way.
Yeah, I think it's just like... It just feels like there's a disregard for any balance in a lot of cases, but it feels like almost intentional. Mm-hmm. Like, there's obviously some limit because they keep patching the game, they keep rebalancing the moves, so there obviously is some limit, some line they're willing to draw in the sand. It's just that the line is basically in the water and we can't see it anymore.
Sure. Yeah. And so, like, As far as we mentioned those, the other mechanics, I mean, it's got parrying, it's got EX moves, and one interesting thing that I only figured out later is that every EX move is invincible, at least a little bit. So you can always use, like, so I guess for an example there, with that, like, that Vortex setup I was doing with Robo Azuma, with any character, you have the option of doing an EX move out of it. The timing's probably tricky, but, you know. There are throws in the game, but there is no option select. You can't do a throw input while crouching. And you can also do a thing called throw storage, where you just hold down the throw input and then you can move around and you'll throw as soon as you get into range.
I did not know that. Because I kept trying to time the throws and they kept failing because it's impossible to time something like that in this game. So that's probably why they even have throw storage.
A lot of this stuff is stuff I learned after our stream. There's the Kanta cancel, which is like a one bar, like hard cancel you do. And then there you have taunts that can buff you in the style of, like, you know, Street Fighter Third Strike, only amped way up from that, where, like, there's, you know, some of them are just like, oh, your next move is going to do more damage, but a lot of them are like, oh, you just immediately gain a bar of super, for instance.
Okay.
They're pretty busted. And then there's a thing called the flash bonus, which I don't understand at all, and I have done extensive Googling and can't find answers, but basically when action doesn't occur for a full second for 60 frames, basically there's a temporary bonus called the flash bonus, and if you hit within a certain amount of time, you do more damage or get more meter, or I don't know, but you get a bonus.
Yeah.
Fight.
Also for reference, we only played this for like a 2-hour session on stream, so I am pretty sure people have figured out all of these things, so this is more like we play this for 2 hours, we feel it's enough to recommend it or not.
Mm-hmm. And I played a little more, but like that, we had already decided after those 2 hours, it was like, okay, we're gonna podcast about this. I went ahead and played a little more on my own time, but it didn't give me that many more insights. It's mostly based on, like, I was confirming things that I had read.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I will very quickly touch on the story. So there's an option on the menu called story. If you are like me, a English speaker, you can't. Because you can make all the menus in the game in English. When you start up, you have the option, you press 1 for Japanese or 2 for English. That does not affect the story. The story is entirely in Japanese.
Man, that reminds me of the good old Guilty Gear X2 Reload PC years, when it was only the Japanese version for the longest time, and I had to play the entire story mode in Japanese and just see the pretty pictures.
Well, the nice thing is, apparently it's not going to make that much more sense in Japanese, because the story is crowdsourced.
Oh.
I haven't had a lot of explanation of what that means, but basically my understanding is that the developer comes up with characters and then just is like, hey, tell me what the deal is with this character, crowd, audience. And because of that, it's like it's set in an alternate world Japan, where there are animal people and elf villages and aliens, and it's Kyanta, the Pomeranian humanoid, who wields the Kyanta Force and is teaching other people to use the Kyanta Force versus Michelle and his secret organization. And it's...
I thought Kyanta was a cat.
No, Kyanta's a Pomeranian.
Okay. I would have known if Jan told me.
Yeah, so there's Kyanta the Pomeranian, and then there's
Kyanta.
Kyanta is basically Akuma. There's very little explanation for Kyanta. Kyanta hasn't gotten that much story yet. Just another Pomeranian with a striking resemblance to Kyanta. No one has fought them and survived. There's Kei Kyanta, aka Katana Kyanta, who was a bodyguard for Tokugawa Ieyasu in the Sengoku period. And then when modern day Kyanta got in trouble, he was resurrected as basically like a samurai ghost to protect him.
A dog of the state. I see.
Yeah. There's Taro. So all of these I'm learning from, Mizumi.net, where they have their little bio section filled out, and Taro's bio section says Taro is a dog. And that's it.
I mean, I like the idea of crowdsourcing the story, even though it's like chaotic, because it kind of reminds me of Toho, except this seems even more unhinged.
Yeah, it seems like there's no, like, you know, you see these, like, these efforts, like, there's that, I forget what it's called, there's that, like, crowdsourced, like, horror thing, or it's, like, the something
SCP, I think.
Yeah, SCP, where it's like, oh, we're all, like, writing different little, like, sort of, like, sci-fi, horror-y short stories. And I think there can be some cool storytelling, even though it doesn't always totally jive, of people trying to, like, adding their own spin, but building towards the same world. There doesn't appear to be any effort towards cohesion here, and I kind of respect that. It's just a bunch of nonsense. There's Well Done, who is an alien from another planet, another galaxy, in fact, who just is here to cause chaos. And then there's Masao, who is Kyanta's student and is a high school boy trying to learn to use, you know, the Kyanta Force. But then he has also been hit by Well Done's gender change beam, resulting in Masako, which is the girl version of Masao and is somehow stronger.
Girl power, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, I guess. Look, if Blaze Blue can do it, I don't see why Ultra Fight the Kyanta 2 can't.
Right? No, fair enough. It's very disjointed and very kind of nonsensical. Speaking of which, so the characters themselves, we talked about their background, but like it's so, as we mentioned, they're inspired, a lot of them are inspired by other fighting game characters, right? Like Kyanta is Ryu, Kyanta is Akuma, you've got Robo Asuma, who is Q. There's a lot of that shit, right?
Yeah.
Some of the designs, I would say, are seem pretty unique to me, but also probably they're just from fighting games I haven't played.
Probably, like, it's very hard to tell. Like, some stuff is obviously, like, Kyanta is essentially Ryu from Street Fighter, like all the moves, and then Kyanta is Akuma, and then there's that one armadillo, I can't remember what it was, that's Blanca. Like, there's a lot of characters that are essentially Street Fighter or SNK characters, but, like, I don't know what I guess the Mushroom Lady is kind of Cody, but the only part that's Cody is that the mushroom she picks up and throws at you.
Yeah, that's fair enough. She might be distinct, but you got, like Hisomi, who has, like, an alien parasite on her head, aka she's Philia from Skullgirls, and you've got, like, I don't know, what's another decent example?
There's Kalkorn, who is the bear grappler, except his grapples are really weird.
Yeah. You've got Rogue, who is basically, what's her name? You'll know this. Samurai Showdown, girl with the dagger and the bird.
Oh, shit, no, I'm drawing a blank because you're drawing a blank. I know which one.
The bird's name is Mamohaha, but I don't remember her name for some reason. But she's basically that character. She, like, summons, like, butterflies.
Nakururu.
And
there we go.
Yes. So it's a lot of those sort of, like, references, and like Well Done, the bizarre, like, Cyclops alien is just Sagat. It's just Sagat.
with single button tiger knees, you don't even need to do motions. Not tiger knees. Yeah, tiger upper. What's his projectile color?
Tiger shot.
Tiger shot. Exactly.
It is also worth noting that the art on all these characters looks terrible. It does. It's fine. It's cohesive, but it looks really bad.
I'm trying to find something more descriptive, because if we just tell people it looks bad, I think everybody's going to imagine a different thing. Imagine like when you go on image boards and somebody does a quick meme sketch or something like that and maybe colors it, and like that's a, like It does it, like, in Photoshop. They do it, like, in Photoshop, but it looks like it's an MS Paint, but the only reason you know it's, like, Photoshop is because there's, like, shading on the outlines. It's that kind of, like, bad.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, that it's, like, I mean, I think Photoshop was involved, but the original creation is, it reminds me of the times where you see someone who isn't a very talented artist, but just as, like, I'm going to spend a lot of time in MS Paint.
Yeah, like a lot of it reminds me of the amount of effort you'd see in like reaction images back in the day of image boards or like on Twitter now, kind of like that kind of level. Except, I feel like now a lot of the art you see is very high fidelity, but like 10 years ago, people were more open to posting just like jank. So it's kind of like that. It's very internet sketchy.
The one thing I will commend it for, I don't know how the localization has occurred. I don't know if it's the authors, or I guess it's just the singular author, has a like a, enough English or is having someone localized for them and how faithful it is. I think the writing's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty funny.
You've got like it's just like dumb little win quotes mostly is what I see where like Robo Ozma wins and this giant menacing glowing eyes Robo Alligator says gosh damn and you're like all right I'm here for
or
that.
the regular crocodile or alligator just says, you've been outsmarted.
Yeah, it looks like you've been outsmarted, and it's especially good because that character is the most brain dead character in the game.
It is ridiculous. Also, I'm very curious where is he like a crocodile or an alligator? Because that's very important.
Let me see. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Gator, alligator.
Okay, so he is an investigator. That's what I wanted to know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely an investigator. Yes, he's a crime scene investigator.
Yeah, but like he's also an investigator, like a gator.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like that's. I wonder, because it's like a Japanese game, like that's like a very unexpected level of punnery. For me, at least.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe he's not a gator in Japanese, but it's like, alligators and crocodiles look similar enough. So when they localized, they were just like, sure.
No, you just enabled the Japanese version, and it's not even like an alligator or crocodile. It's a completely different animal, but it's the same equivalent pun in Japanese.
That would be pretty next level. I'd be impressed. It's like that's like BU in frickin' Windjammers.
Yeah.
Just a different character over here. But yeah, this game is really it is important. Like you can pick one, two, or three characters and they'll scale in power. You have to pick three.
I'm not
The
entirely
thing
sure if you
is
do.
I think you do because the game is so matchup dependent that you're really putting yourself on the line that your one or two characters won't be counterpicked, which is really easy to have happen.
Okay, in that regard, yeah, but in that regard, I agree. It's more just I felt like it was less of a death sentence compared to Skullgirls because of the tag because it doesn't this one doesn't have a tagging system, whereas in
Sure, I
Skullgirls, if you
think
don't
it.
have an assist, you're kind of just dead.
And I could see this game, if they wanted to push it in this direction, getting to a point where that wasn't the case. But like, we've talked about I talked about playing Robo Azuma and doing the jump, and a lot of characters just not having any answer for that. With Azuma Deka, the investigator gator, you can just press one button, and he'll shoot a gun that is a full screen instant hit, and you just hit that button, and only three characters in the game can even crouch under it. You just sit there and hit the button, and if they ever try and press anything, you hit them. We had matches where I picked three characters and I put the alligator on point, and you got I'll
Blocked.
say stubborn.
Yeah.
I'll say stubborn, and you were like, I'm going to rematch this until I can beat it,
Well,
and you gave up eventually.
yeah, because I was like, this can't be that stupid, but it turned out it was that stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm not. This is absolutely no fault on your play. It's just like, no, there are lots of teams, in fact, that just cannot do anything about him.
Yeah. No, it's pretty wild, but I guess that's the entire game.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of that kind of stuff. We didn't fully tap into the potential, obviously, of some of these characters, like, Kinoko, I really was having a lot of trouble figuring out how Kinoko was supposed to work. besides hitting my super where rocks fall and they're unblockable and they hit everyone including you.
I think you died more to those rocks than I did.
For sure. Because I tended to hit it as a comeback mechanic, which meant that I was lower than you in health, and just math was not going to work in my favor there.
There was one time where not a single rock almost hit you, like, you found a safe spot, and then I had to, like, slowly walk forward like it was some weird platformer game until I got within range to punch you. But, like, I wasn't even looking at you, I was just looking at the rocks and being like, oh god, do I have to go, like, back or forward?
Yeah, and I was also... But the other thing, though, is because it'll hit me, too, I was also not looking at you. I was just looking at the rocks, so... Oh, I will mention also real quick, the next character that they're said to be... that's said to be added by the developer is Natani, which is supposed to be, like, a 12 alike. So, like, officially, he officially said, like, oh, I want to make a character that's basically 12 from Third Strike. So, yeah, they're not pretending that these characters are original.
Which one is 12 again? I haven't played that much.
12 is the, 12 is the, like, the white blob that shapeshifts.
Oh, that one, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense for this game.
Yeah, totally. So... where did you end up? What's your team of choice?
My team of choice was Kianta, Jakor, and Kokorn, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Kianta is... I hate that... I think I was the best with Kianta. I think I was the most consistent in terms of wins with him, which is really annoying because he's the most boring character because he is literally Ryu.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only fun part with him is that you can combo juggle with fireballs.
Yeah.
And then Jakor is just broken. Jakor is a bondage enthusiast cat girl who has a whip and also has a special move, which is a giant, extremely slow-moving heart, and then that heart just goes all the way to the end of the stage. It doesn't, like, it never vanishes. It just slowly moves forward. And then if the opponent ever gets within the center of the heart, they're stunned, and Jakor can just keep hitting the opponent over and over and over. And on some characters, that's enough to just kill them. And I think if you time it well, you can cancel your last normal at the moment the heart expires and combo it into another heart and just continue doing it.
Mm-hmm. Worth noting that the story for Jakor, of course, she is a S&M cat girl, but she actually takes it all the way where, knowing that there are some people who don't appreciate the beauty of S&M makes her very lonely and sad, and so she's created various social media accounts to promote S&M. And is out there. She will not rest until everyone on Earth understands the beauty of sexual torture, is the quote.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense for the character, considering all the moves and the look and the wind poses.
Yeah.
And Cockhorn, because he's a bear and also a one-button grappler. So that's all that was good.
Yeah. And he's just... His deal is exactly what you would expect, which is he's a bear wrestler.
Yeah.
He does charity events, though. He's nice.
I just love the he like, because everything does so much damage, of course the super version of his grabs just instant kill almost everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the things where I would keep, like, crossing my fingers. And, okay, one thing I will commend this game for, it's, you know, it's kind of, like, a visually rough, but I do like it, where you have a health bar, but then you also have numerical values.
Yeah.
And it also including, like, negatives when you get killed. And it was pretty funny, like, whenever I would play Taro and the dog and get grabbed, and I'd be like, I'd cross my fingers. I'm like, I'm at, like, 95% health. I'll probably live through negative 37. Like, okay, I'm erased. Got it.
Yeah. Also, one thing, because it just could remind that, that we should also mention, this game does have a stun meter as well that's very visible.
The Boko meter,
where if you block too much, you get stunned, and that's essentially a death sentence in most cases.
Because it doesn't degrade.
it doesn't degrade, but it does scale based on how many characters you have. So if you have like one character, you have a much larger Boku meter.
Mm-hmm. And I think it resets between like rounds. Yes. But like, yeah, within a round, like if you have two bars of super, you could just like do two supers and then a couple of normals and they're stunned.
Yeah.
If they block them or if they get hit, they're done.
Yeah, so there's a lot of damned if you do and damned if you don't situations. But mm-hmm. Anyway, what's your team?
So my team is first off Robo Azuma, the alligator robot Q. I think he's hilarious and fun. I love the jumping. I love his drill. I love his little air cannonball. He's very fun. He's been created by Michelle to mimic the alligator detective. Speaking of which, I play M. Michelle, which is the mass version of Michelle. Bio here notes, this is just Michelle wearing a mask. The mask does not have any special powers and does not conceal his identity in the slightest. Just a very, like, footsie-based, like, sword character who's pretty fun and can just pop out hits out of nowhere. Like, full-screen punishes with sword slashes and stuff. And then my last character I play is Anna, who's, like, a lizard girl with, like, dalsim limbs. And she's actually the most, like, one of the most normal-seeming characters in the game. But she's very fun. You just hit her buttons and she pokes you and you die.
Yeah. And we can go on record saying that 6 won more matches than I did.
I was better at finding broken things than you, I think. I had to make the choice to not have Azuma, the detective alligator, on my team because with that gun you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah. Problem was, I was trying to play this like a proper fighting game, and I think that was my downfall.
Yeah, I learned just to... Because I have a phase with any fighting game where I start out, and I'm like, okay, I'm not... I have played enough fighting games that I know how to use normals. The thing that's... Like, the first thing I need to learn is what are the applications of a character's specials? So I, at first, am very special spammy with any fighting game. And with this game, you never need to move past that. That's the correct thing to do with a lot of characters.
To be fair, I found that the slides that everybody has are really useful.
Yeah, a lot of characters have a like slide that goes underneath projectiles and also some normals and has pretty good range. And yeah, it's a good move.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than that, one thing... Okay, so we played, you know... Usual disclaimer here, I'm in Los Angeles, California. Not quite Los Angeles, I'm in the burbs, but, you know, I'm close.
Yep.
And you are in Stockholm, Sweden.
Yep.
And we did net play, and it felt really good.
Yeah, at first I wasn't even sure whether it was working well or not, because everybody was dying so quickly, but no, it felt pretty reliable. I'm quite impressed. Then again, I'm guessing it's not a very intensive game, but still, it is impressive that we had, like, zero lag.
Yeah, and there weren't any points where, it spiked or anything. It just kind of worked pretty smoothly. As you say, they are not asking a lot from it, but the netcode did feel very smooth.
Yeah, and it also helps, The only issue we had was with the lobbies, I'd say, like trying to get it to work, because when I hosted, you couldn't find my lobby, but when you hosted, I could find your lobby. So it was like the only issues, but other than that, it was like pretty reliable. Like we could, I was worried we'd have to fire up Parsec to play it, but no, broke it fine.
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend this to people?
I mean, so we had a moment at the end of the stream where you were asking me if I preferred it to various fighting games. And I realized I kept, like, you know, there were times where I was like, no, of course I prefer this fighting game. But there were lots of moments where you're like, hey, do you like this better than Tekken? And I was like, yeah, I like this better than Tekken. I was surprised at how much I enjoy this game. I find it fills a very particular niche. It feels like, I guess a little bit of a personal story time. Back when I was... a high schooler, I was kind of a jackass, And I ended up in detention with some frequency because I was a pain in the ass. So did my friends. And we would study on the computers, which couldn't run any games, but you could run a Flash version of Joust and just play Joust. And this kind of reminds me of those days where you're like, the competition is fun and it's sort of fast-paced and wild and like, it's not like a great representation of competitive skill, but it's just a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very... It's very raw in that way. Like nowadays, a lot of fighting games have this... It's very hard to make, like, a just for, like, quote-unquote, just for fun fighting game. Like, there's a lot of fighting games coming out on Steam where you see they're, like, either Smash clones or Power Stone clones or just party games that are fighting games, and you just know they're not really gonna take off that much. And there's always, like, this kind of demand, like, oh, you know, we need to show our game at Evo, we need to... We need to make this competitive, we need to make this balanced, we need to have good net play, all sorts of, like, check marks. And this kind of feels like one of the infinite number of PS1 fighting games you would find. And it's like, oh, I own this game, and I have, like, two or three friends who sometimes come over and we play this game. And it's like, you look up, I don't know, you look up a random-ass... fighting game on YouTube, and you see like five comments. It's like, oh yeah, I played the crap out of this as a kid. This was great. It's kind of like that kind of mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this game is pretty much the polar opposite of Street Fighter V. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's really crisp and really responsive and really ridiculous, whereas Street Fighter tries really hard to be grounded, and it feels really sluggish, and it feels really stiff. This is the opposite in every way.
Yeah, yeah, this is a game that just doesn't care. It just wants to add ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's fun. I feel that I can see why a lot of people tried to stream it and play it and got really into it. Because it does have that, like, meme potential, but I do think it's actually enjoyable.
And it feels like these are the kinds of games that, like, I know, you go back and you play some, I don't know, this is a little bit of a jump here, but, like, you go back and play some of the old SNK games from, like, the age where fighting games were starting to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, we went back and played some Alpha 3, and it's like, these are games where there are a lot of actually really cool ideas here, and they're very rough, but there is some cool shit in here, and they're sort of innovating with ideas that I think going forward are going to become more influential. I think they're messing with ideas of, like, grooves and character designs and stuff, and their versions are really rough, but I believe that some of these ideas will inspire the more polished versions in other games.
Yeah, no, this definitely is a very nice test bed for various things, and I feel... I kind of feel like people who work on video games or fighting games should just take a look at it and not just write it off, because I feel... Mm-hmm. You rarely see, like, a game with this... The closest thing you'll see to this is Mugen, but Mugen is just, here's a ton of conflicting systems trying to interact with each other, but you rarely see that within one system, like under one umbrella. So I think it's nice to, like, just see it and be like, okay, what's fun about this, and how can you actually kind of, like, frame it in, you know, something not necessarily more approachable, but, like, in a different system, a different video game. Like, how would you put an alligator with a gun in Guilty Gear? How would that work? I want to see that.
You know, okay, you've convinced me, Mio, you've convinced me.
Yeah.
I want to find out whether or not Ultra Fight Dakyanta 2 can escape from Crossing Fate.
Oh man, that would be, I mean, this damn stupid Blitz tank, like, I would be all like, just add something from Dakyanta 2, please.
So here are the two possibilities here, and either is incredible. Either they bring them in with just this art. You have this art alongside, like, the Ruby characters, Or you get to see, like, fucking, like...
high production value version of everything.
Like, yeah, like, Kinoko with, like, super nice sprite art.
I feel like it would be a massive disregard to the source material. But then again, they did draw new sprites with Ruby and Senran Kagura characters. And
also, isn't there something magical about the idea of seeing these, like... It's just like, oh look, Zaki Wilde is joining the fight, and it's just like this beautifully rendered, like, what?
Yeah, no, it would be good. I think, like, if this lasts long enough, and it's getting updated fairly frequently, I think it's gonna go somewhere, like, at least it's gonna have enough notoriety to be a side tournament regular.
I mean, it is at Evo. There is a side tournament of it at Evo.
Oh, okay.
This year.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, then the next point is main stage.
Main stage, here we go. God, can you imagine watching Top 8? It would be incredible.
Man, I think if this was, like, main stage Evo, like, you would have a subset of people who would just be super happy about it, but then everybody else would be livid and just wondering why the heck are we getting this game instead of, like, I don't know, what would get dropped, Soul Calibur 6.
I think it could be finally the thing to replace the Wins Marvel meme, because people would be so happy to say Wins Kyanta.
Yeah, no. But yeah, it's overall a very positive experience. You just need to come into it expecting everything to be broken and unfair, and you need to take advantage of it. But I will say, it's even though it's unfair, I think that if somebody learns how to play this, and they play against somebody who doesn't know how to play this, there's still a reasonable chance that the person who does know will probably consistently win. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, knowledge is a thing in this game.
Yeah.
Mostly it's knowledge of what you know you can get away with, but...
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
I think that's an episode. Next time, assuming plans don't change, we'll be covering Them's Fightin' Herds.
Yeah, which I think is actually coming out in October, so we should be able to see the full version of it.
Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. I've messed with it a little bit. I'm having a good time with it. But until then, Miadrog, where can folks find you upon this united web?
You can find me on twitch.tv/realsovietbear, where I stream all sorts of games frequently, including sometimes fighting games. And you can find me on twitter.com/mdkii, that's MDK Roman numerals 2, and there's a pin with all the things I do, and a link to the Discord. So you can find me there. And why would you, Six? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. I have a pinned tweet there that tells you all the shows that I do. And then beyond that, I guess there kind of is no... I mean, patreon.com/scanlinemedia, but, you know, just check it out. I do stuff on there.
Alrighty. Well, see ya, folks.
Peace.